Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Rear Admiral Christine Hunter, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activity within the U.S. Department of Defense. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Terry Ergens. Admiral, life after sustaining a serious injury can be fraught with difficulties for a service member. Could you elaborate on the efforts and initiatives being pursued to facilitate service members from deployment to employment?
Well, I like that phrase, from deployment to employment, or return to service is the other way that we should talk about that, because many of our wounded warriors feel that their first calling is to their military occupation and they'd like to go back if at all possible. Mm-hmm. So our wounded warrior programs, of course, focus on life-saving treatment at first, and then the rehabilitation process and recovery process to take the individual and the family through a phase of physical and mental recovery and coping with their injury. But we also talk about moving from disability to understanding one's potential. And there really are a lot of ways in which we can do that. We have adaptive sports and athletics programs. We have opportunity through internships and things like the VA Coming Home to Work program and industry-sponsored programs to allow people to try out new occupations. And sometimes people go to a new occupation and say, I really like this, but I'm having difficulty focusing because of my physical injury or my traumatic brain injury. Many who have been in blast injury even have what we call tinnitus, ringing in their ears. And if they're having memory problems, all that combines into an ability to feel a lot less effective than you maybe were before your injury. And one of the programs I'd like to share with you is our computer electronic accommodations program, which is absolutely focused on getting people back to the workplace. So it can be something as simple as a keyboard that adapts to your arm and hand injuries, an amplification device, a way to put both text and voice before you so you can concentrate more fully, or one of my favorite is a listening device that you can place near a speaker if you're at a conference or a meeting and you're having difficulty sorting out the speaker's words from any background noise. You can put this listening device in front of the speaker or near the speaker and the earbud in your ear, and it amplifies just the sounds of the speaker while actually canceling out some of the background noise and really allows you to focus. And we find with many of these tools, plus personal digital assistance and other things, people are able to go back to work in fields that they would enjoy or learn new fields of employment. And then through our psychological health and traumatic brain injury programs, that many of which are administered through our Defense Center of Excellence for Psychological Health and TBI, we're on the forefront of research, too, which will allow people to function better and better. We're looking at everything from a study that's just about to begin on the role of hyperbaric oxygen therapy for traumatic brain injury, all the way up to the use of venues like Second Life to allow people to creatively understand what they've been through and deal with their stressful circumstances.
Admiral, you've been quoted as saying that providing health care to the 9.5 million people is not a challenge to be surmounted, but an opportunity for innovation. Would you elaborate on your perspective? What types of innovations are you looking to pursue as you begin to lead the day-to-day operations of the TRICARE management activity?
I have lots of phrases, and one of them is optimism, opportunity, innovation. And I first started to apply that when I was out in San Diego running the region there for the Navy and Marine Corps in the direct care system. And as I looked at that, you can consider your world at work as one in which you're faced with many challenges, but every challenge has a silver lining. It's an opportunity to learn, to grow, and to combine the talents of the best of the best. And we actually have the best of the best in the military health system. The answer's out there, and one of our people has it. So as we come together in opportunities to collaborate, either actually or virtually, we look at our issues like the medical home, which we've talked about, and say, how can we adapt this to our needs to have military readiness plus all the goals of a civilian health system? how might this work together or at the seams between our direct care and purchase care when patients either move across the country, around the world, or back and forth between venues of care? And we have some great opportunities to do that. We also have within our power the chance to set some business priorities, some business planning, and some incentives that can be placed into the system to try to get the results that we desire. So we look at metrics, we look at what we're measuring for process and what we're measuring for health outcomes, and then ensure that we pay for the kinds of things we want. So I see this job as a tremendous opportunity to align our business planning efforts. We have 5 million people enrolled in our TRICARE Prime, our health maintenance organization program. Of them, 3.5 million are enrolled to military hospitals and clinics, and 1.5 million to civilian network providers. And I want to bring those as close together as possible so that the product you get is wonderful no matter what side of that equation you're on, and it is as consistent, comprehensive, and accessible as it can be. And then finally, I'd like to talk about an opportunity to do research. We have looked at our electronic health record and at our pharmacy database, and we have an amazing opportunity there to understand things like comparative effectiveness research and move the nation's healthcare research agenda along. And we want to contribute in every way that we can.
That's terrific. As a physician, you speak with authority about the importance of the patient-provider relationship, recognizing that sacred space. Given your experience and expertise, would you elaborate on some of the key qualities and characteristics of a successful patient-centric physician?
The sacred space, that space between physician or provider and patient, because certainly we have many non-physician providers in allied health, plus nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, and in many cases for the young Marine, his doc is that hospital corpsman. And patients allow us into their lives at some of their most difficult and challenging moments. They trust us almost immediately. There is an incredible intimacy to that interaction, and we should and do value that opportunity to come into someone's life to help over a difficult time, to be told things that perhaps would require years of friendship to be told, and to apply that for all the right reasons to allow them to get well and stay well.
Admiral Hunter, you've had a very interesting and successful vocation within medicine and as a public servant. What advice would you give to someone thinking about a career in either medicine or public service, or ideally both?
I would say wherever you are in your career continuum, come to work every day, ready to be excited and surprised by the next challenge. So I've shared with you the listen, learn, and lead, and certainly I have great passion for what I do. I've never been bored. I've been excited every day in all of my years in the military. But I've always been offered that next great opportunity, sometimes by a mentor or a boss who saw something in me that I didn't quite understand yet in terms of potential. And also sometimes just by circumstances. So I'd like to tell just a couple of quick stories with respect to that. Years ago, we had military retirees who became Medicare eligible who were promised a healthcare plan for life, and yet we weren't able to fulfill that promise for several years. And there came an opportunity to bring in a program, which we now know as TRICARE for Life. I've described that to you as our Medicare wraparound program. And I happened to be on a group that designed the first what we call Medicare subvention pilot, just working on a working group. And my boss said, tomorrow you are going to get up and give the presentation in front of the entire assembled crowd, 500 or 1,000 people. And you're going to make our plan the one that they select. And that incredible confidence that he showed in me caused me to give it not only my best effort, but 175% effort, got up, did that plan. And that actually came through, was a several-year pilot out in San Diego, and then ultimately formed one of the key prototypes that became the TRICARE for Life program. So coming to work with the idea that you can make a difference. And then the second story I'd like to share is about the tsunami. And I was the chief of staff at the Navy's Bureau of Medicine and Surgery on the day that the tsunami happened. You remember, it was shortly after Christmas. And many people were on leave or out of town. And I was called back to work to begin to grapple with how we were going to respond to this. And I got a call from the Chief Naval Operations Office saying, we want to take the hospital ship out. And we, at that time, hadn't taken the hospital ships out in years. And although we certainly had a plan, and we exercised it occasionally, we hadn't done it for real since the first Gulf War. And so as we prepared to take the ship out, we considered how we might staff it and continue all of our missions that were going on around the world at that time. And the Navy leadership came up with the idea of bringing civilians and non-governmental organizations on board, which was a completely novel concept. And they asked me if we could get those agreements in place and find some partners within 5 days. And I thought it might take years. But never one to say no from the first day. We just embarked down the path. I encountered so many people who were willing to help me on a moment's notice, drop everything in the week after Christmas, so that we could aid this nation who had been so devastated by a natural disaster. And as we look at the basis of those partnerships have now formed the ongoing pattern for our humanitarian assistance missions, where we're able to get out and develop friendships and partnerships and assist others in need in support of world peace and stability. It's a wonderful mission, all growing out of being open to new ideas.
Powerful stories and great advice. Admiral, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time, and that will have to be our last question. I wanted to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule, but more important, Terry and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country and its military service personnel.
Thank you. It's an honor to serve, and I'd just like to echo that by thanking everyone who's serving around the world today, the families who are supporting those who serve and love them and take over all the jobs at home while their loved ones deployed, and those who have set the great example for our nation in the past. Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Rear Admiral Christine Hunter, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activity at the U.S. Department of Defense. My co-host has been Terry Ergens, IBM's Military Health Practice Leader. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad, whose efforts on our behalf deserve our continued respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.